Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Your eyes do not deceive you. This is the Dual Soccer Shotcast. I'm your host, George Jimenez. I'm joined by Mr. Ryan Meitzer.
I'm just trying to avoid spoilers at all costs for Star Wars before I see it.
Did you get to when are your tickets?
I'm going to see it twice. I'm seeing it this Saturday. I'm seeing it Saturday night. And then I'm going to go like a little bit after Christmas with my sister to go see it as well.
Yeah. I'm watching it tomorrow night, which is the Thursday before it comes out.
Yeah.
At like 9 p.m. So I'm going to be there at like 7. There's a bar nearby the theater. So I'm going to get like hammered and then lower all my expectations before I watch that movie, which I think is the right attitude. But I'm hearing good things about people who've already seen the VIP screening and they seem to enjoy it. So I'm like, I can't wait. And I even did a special video where I played Jedi Knight 2, Ryan.
Pretty great. Not Battlefront, although I guess we're gonna talk about that later. Is like,
you know what, at this point, if you want to play the definitive Star Wars game, Battlefront is probably not it.
I mean Rogue Squadron, that's my vote for the definitive Star Wars game ever. So you know,
I'm a KOTAR guy, but that's fine. I have to each their own.
And you know what, it's I'm hoping with Rogue One next year we'll get a Rogue Squadron 4 and I'll be super happy and it'll be amazing, but it probably won't happen. I'll be disappointed.
It'll be Battlefront DLC. It's like the blue X-Wing, how about that? And like, oh yeah, what did you do to me? Yeah guys, sorry, I'm gonna take the blame on this one, Ryan. Why there's not been so many Shotcasts. I got engaged, I went on vacation, woo! And then I got and then I got the flu for like a week and a half, and so I'm just still barely recovering. So I feel like that was like the universe's way of like, you know, too many good things are happening to you, I'm just gonna knock you down a peg. And I'm like, got it, universe, I will not be happy anymore. But yeah, video games happened, Ryan. Just because I was away does not mean that news stopped. There was an award show. There was a PlayStation did a thing. So much to talk about. But Ryan, just for ha-has, new releases. What's coming out? What came out? What should I be amped up for?
Is your body ready? Because you're about to hear some pretty amazing new releases. Are you ready? So all right. So for the week of December 13th to December 20th, 2015. George, get ready, because Kung Fu Panda Showdown of Legendary Legends is coming to Wii U. It's coming.
Game of the year.
So we've got 12 out of 10 releases. We've got that. We've got Summon Night 5 for PSP. So I think that's coming out on PSN, like as a classics type thing. Parappa the Rapper 2 for PS4. Game of the year from like the 2000s or 90s when it came out. Biker Mice from Mars for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Battle High 2 A+ for Xbox One, Blaze Rush for PS4, Minecraft Wii U Edition for Wii U, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 for Xbox 360 and PS3, and Under Rail for PC. So a lot of good choices there. I don't know what you're going to pick, but...
Kung Fu Panda, that's the only thing that sounded vaguely familiar to anything.
I feel like Parappa the Rapper is like Parappa the Rapper 2 is like the default winner of that category right there.
You can have Parappa. I'm sure it's fine. I wonder how that plays now with like the latency and all that stuff, and see if that still has the same kind of funk to it. Was that the one with the onion guy, the onion master, or is that the first Parappa?
That was the first one, yeah.
Okay, is he back?
Kick punch, it's all in the mind. I think so. I don't think I played 2, but I liked 1 a lot. So
you don't hear many people talking about Parappa the Rapper 2.
I know. It's like Parappa the Rapper is kind of a forgotten icon of gaming, but that's not what we're talking about, right? We're actually talking about new games and not ones that came out 15 years ago.
Sure, so. Fine, Ryan. What are you? All right, Ryan. What happened at the Video Game Awards? People won stuff.
People won stuff, yeah. So I guess we're going to kind of recap just some of the things that happened at the beginning of the month. So the first major kind of game thing that happened at the beginning of the month was the Game Awards 2015, hosted by the ever eminent Jeff Keighley. He brought them back for this year. And a lot of awards were given out. Kind of the big winner was The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, which ended up taking Game of the Year, and I think very deservedly so. I mean, it was up against some pretty stiff competition, because it also, the other Game of the Year nominees were Super Mario Maker, Metal Gear Solid 5 Phantom Pain, Fallout 4, and Bloodborne, And it was funny because I think I think it was maybe Giuseppe or someone that said it, that like Super Mario Maker really had no chance in that category. It was just kind of there along for the ride because
it's like an honor to be nominated. But yeah, but you know what? It was really stiff competition because I was happy that this was actually a really good year for games. Where last year you didn't really have that discussion. It was just like there was a handful of titles, and you're like, yeah, I guess I can GTA 5 remake.
Yeah, because Dragon Age ended up winning last year, and then this year it was The Witcher. But I think so. Yeah. And then obviously CD Projekt Red, the developer, ended up taking Developer of the Year. But they did a pretty good job, I think, of kind of diversifying, giving everyone a little bit of something. They ended up winning Action Game of the Year. I'm trying to think what else. Her Story also did really well as well, the small downloadable indie title that ended up winning, I think, Best Narrative and Best Performance. And then while they were there, they also had, because the Game Awards is kind of a big sort of celebration of gaming and giving awards. But there's also a lot of the kind of the publicity and the advertisements and kind of reveals and stuff. So we saw a lot of trailers, like they showed, I believe they showed some Uncharted footage. They also revealed a couple of new games, things like that. Kind of the big surprise, controversial sort of event of the night was Jeff Keighley ended up revealing that Hideo Kojima, who was obviously nominated as part of Metal Gear Solid 5, was not actually able to attend the event because he was basically told by Konami's legal team and lawyers that he couldn't attend the event.
Awesome. Like really running for like worst company of the year. And it also shows like the level that they kind of don't give a shit. Almost like their opinion on AAA games, where they're just like, we're just not in AAA. We don't want AAA games developed anymore. That's not our bag anymore. So we don't care how we look.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, because even Jeff admitted that, he admitted pretty recently after the fact that, that moment was obviously pretty, it was unscripted. So he didn't, he didn't plan that. He didn't put in the script or rehearse or anything. He just kind of said it. I think even when he said it, you could kind of tell, I think that he was kind of like nervous and a little bit hesitant to even say it. But I think it really, like, I respect him for that. I think it was a really, like, he made the right call, I think, to do that. And especially because, he's one of the most, kind of honored game developers. And we'll talk about this later with kind of the news that just came out yesterday. But that was kind of like the unexpected big moment of the night, I think, was just everyone. Because even when he said it, you could hear people in the audience are booing. And like,
no one knew where it was going to go. And like, my God, is he going to say fuck Konami? And I'm like, if he says it, I'm on Jeff Keighley's team. I'm like, good for you, Jeff.
Yeah.
But it sounded like it seemed like Kojima was like a personal friend of his. And like, would want your friend to come to your award show, especially when you're going to give him an award. And then when you find out he can't because lawyers.
Yeah,
I could see why Jeff Keighley is, upset, because, this is his show. And like, yeah, if Hideo Kojima was on stage accepting an award for Metal Gear Solid, people would have loved that. And then you don't have that moment. And like, yeah, I mean, obviously not fair to Kojima, but also not fair to Keighley, whose show it is. And he's like, man, that would have been a great moment with Kiefer and Hideo Kojima just looking at each other like, oh, that's what you look like. OK, cool. Because I don't think. In my head, I'm like, I don't think Kiefer actually met Kojima. I think he just got his script and like,
he read the four lines that he had in the game, and then he was done. Basically, it was like, yeah, but I mean, that was pretty much it at this point. I thought the Game Awards overall were really good. I've been enjoying both this year and last year's ceremony way more than the VGX or the VGAs ever were, because the VGAs were pretty terrible. Like they were very rarely good.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with the VGAs was they were on Spike. So you had to, it's big commercial show, but you had to sell that to like a network. And in order to do that, you have to pack it in with like celebrities and just random nonsense in there. What's like, hey, Samuel Jackson's going to be in it. He really has nothing to do with games, but you know his name. And it's like, oh, okay. So I feel like I have to make a lot of concessions for that.
That was the big problem, I think, with the VGAs for pretty much their entire run. They ended up getting, and they kind of were ended and dropped after the VGX in 2013. But I think, mostly because they were basically run by people who didn't really care about games or that didn't have the same passion for it that obviously like Jeff Keighley does. And you could see it in every step of it. Like the Game Awards feels like a show made for gamers. And that's a good thing, that it's not like the VGAs where they were basically a glorified, two or three hours of commercials were like occasional awards that in between was basically what they felt like. Whereas this feels a little bit more like a legitimate, sort of like trying to be more legitimate and sort of catered to gamers.
And it was different because it was streamed, so you didn't have those like network constraints or like those concessions you have to make. It was like,
sure,
you have to break for commercial here and here and here. I think the Battlefront stuff was weird. Every time they cut to like, what was it, iJustine?
Yeah, it was iJustine, and she was kind of talking with people after the awards. That was definitely weird. That was obviously very like very much a paid. That was definitely like a paid thing from EA or something.
Because yeah, because
it was literally every time.
How do you feel about Star Wars? Because he's like, I guess it's good. I love Star Wars as a kid. And I was like, man, this Disney hype train just awesome. Yeah, like
it was
annoying, man.
It was very awkward and forced, and you could tell that it was definitely like a paid promotion by EA for the game, because it was literally like every time someone would get off, it was like Viva Sefer probably got off of her story and they were like, congratulations on winning. What'd you think on Star Wars Battlefront? It had literally nothing to do with anything that she's done. It was very awkward. I know a lot of people complain too, because even though they're not on TV, so they don't have those kind of same broadcast constraints. Like they still had commercials and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So you know, and their big sponsor was Go90, who is their subsidiary of Verizon. So they had like tons of commercials for that all the time, and there was some weird stuff. But
yeah. That when you're putting together an award show, especially when you stream, coming from experience, from a person who does take part of an award show every year, yeah. There's a lot of weirdness that happens, or like a lot of things you have to do with sponsors, and just kind of like, all right, how big of a banner you want? All right, great, just give me the fucking banner.
Yeah,
like,
but overall. But overall, I approve. I definitely have been enjoying the Game Awards way more than the VGAs, and I'm looking forward to them coming back next year.
It was a better show.
But yeah,
it seemed a lot tighter, and I was like, you know what? I'm always happy for a tight show.
It was a much shorter show. It was only like 2 hours, as opposed to like last year's being almost three. So, yeah. I guess that's pretty much it with the Game Awards, because then pretty much right after that was PlayStation Experience 2015. So this was the second year of PlayStation's kind of big, their own kind of little mini E3 that's basically dedicated to all things PlayStation. So I don't know. Did you watch the event at all, or any of the streams or anything like that? Or
I saw a bunch of it. I totally spaced out on the final. I must have left the room for like an hour or something during it, and I came back and I got on Twitter and I'm like, and was done. And I was like, oh, and then I look on Twitter. I'm like, Final Fantasy. I'm like, all right, they announced that. And then
that was like the second thing they showed. So it was like, yeah,
it's Final Fantasy. I'm like, I when it was first announced back at E3, and you were there next to me, I was one of the not skeptics, but I was one of those people where I was like, all right, guys, we need to calm down. That was just a 30-second CG trailer. Let's see what the game looks like before we start like praising it and calling it the greatest thing since sliced bread.
The second coming of Jesus, yeah.
Right. I mean, Brian, you were there. People were like crying.
It was a pretty like usually the biggest, like most intense reaction I've ever seen to anything at E3.
In my lifetime, I would see this. Not in my lifetime. I'm like, dude, calm down. Yeah. Like, it's no Force Awakens, right, man? So what'd you think of it? I just let's take a minute or two and talk about Final Fantasy VII, because I know always a talking point. Even now, people are still talking about that, the trailer, and then the news that came out afterwards about Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yes. Yes, I guess to go into that really quick. I'm definitely way more interested in, you know, like I was interested definitely in, like, I'm not a big Final Fantasy person, so I'm just going to, you know, just say that right off the bat, is like Final Fantasy's not really a series. Not that I hate Final Fantasy, it's just I've never really like played a lot of the games. They never grabbed me. So like I don't have the same emotional connection to 7 that like so many people have, where that's like, for a lot of people, that's their first Final Fantasy game. So that's
their first RPG
or anything like that. Yeah, that's obviously, it's a very special game. It's like, you know, probably it's probably like the most iconic out of all the Final Fantasy games. So I don't have that same connection, but you know, obviously I see why people are so attached to it, and why the remake is like, you know, people were literally crying at the award show, you know, at the E3 when it was announced. But I was actually surprised about how much more. I was just expecting another like CG trailer, so I was actually quite surprised we got to see like our first glimpse of gameplay. You know, a little rough, like obviously, like you could tell, like it's early, like it's because the frame rate was not great, and but it looked really nice, and the animation, like, okay, they're doing it, like, it's gonna happen.
It looks like they're going with the fighting. It looks like they're going with the fighting style of, like, you know, like Lightning Returns or like Kingdom Hearts. It's a very active kind of move your guy around, and then you can switch character.
That was probably the biggest thing, was that they're switching to more of an action RPG sort of system rather than turn based, which I actually really appreciate, and I'm way more interested in the game now because I don't really play a lot of JRPGs, and I'm not necessarily a fan of like turn based or anything like that, just because I find the gameplay too slow. And it's just, you know,
the turn-based stuff was kind of like a product of its time. I was like, that's what all JRPGs were at that time. So, I think that was a smart decision, just because I feel like, menu-based combat doesn't really translate well now, or just people are just kind of like, watching that.
Yeah, I think it's a smart decision, because I think it's, if they just literally translated the game and made it a prettier version of the original game, that's a waste of time, because it's like, well, if you want to just play that, just play the original game. Like, you know, versus like, I think they're doing a good job of like, they're getting people in that want to relive sort of the experience, but still giving enough of a new experience that it'll feel different.
And I think it also does something for people who are like kind of like Final Fantasy fans in passing, where they were just kind of like, oh yeah, I heard about this game, but like, this was 10 years ago, so I really can't I can't play that original because it's hideous compared to today's graphics, or like, it just doesn't do anything for you as it did, where it's like my first JRPGs and I was like, man, this is something else. But then again, I was maybe like 13, 14 at the time. And it's just like, nothing is ever going to be better than like the first time you play that game.
Yeah.
Like you have that memory in there. So it's like, they have a lot to live up for.
Right.
I'm not even like happy. I think Final Fantasy VII has its problems, because man, that game does have its problems. But at the time, you just kind of overlooked that just because of the spectacle and the production value, and you're just like, you've never seen anything like that before. So yeah, you're willing to make a lot of concessions just to be just blown away and take it to this other world. But yeah, you look back at it now, I'm like, oh my god, what a polygonal mess. Why doesn't anyone have a mouth?
I looked at the pictures of like Cloud, and he's got his giant like ham hock arms that are like logs attached to them. It's just like, it doesn't look great now. Overall, I was really positive, and I'm looking forward to see more of it. I mean, obviously, it's still quite a while away, but sort of the big sort of controversial news that came out very shortly afterwards, and not announced at PlayStation Experience, and probably obviously for good reason.
Not.
So Square ended up announcing a couple, like kind of like a day or two after PlayStation Experience, they're going to be delivering Final Fantasy VII Remake as sort of a multi-part, like not, I don't know if it's going to be like episodic, like Telltale style episodic.
No, they were very
multiple.
They're very specific by not saying episodic.
Right, they're saying multiple parts. So it'll probably be like Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. However many parts they end up dividing it up, we don't really know yet, but. You know, I don't necessarily think this is a bad thing, though, because realistically, like, you know, they're saying, like, obviously, like, a lot of people, the cynical people, I think, ended up saying, oh, they're doing this because they want to get more money out of people, which, you know, they could, because, you know, if they could release, you know, because all they really said was that each part of the game will be equal to, like, a full-length game. But like, we don't really know what that means. Like, we don't know how long that could be.
I mean, by which standard? Hours. Like, 100 right, hours, 60 hours, 30 hours?
That could mean anywhere from 10 to 100 hours. So that really isn't that, you know, not really that helpful there.
Ryan, let me ask you this. Do you think they're going to do the approach that they did with like Final Fantasy 13, where in 5 years they released Final Fantasy 13, then 13-2, and then Lightning Returns? That's a multi-part. That is Final Fantasy 13, a multi-part game when you think about it.
I don't know. I mean, it's harder. It's harder for something. I mean, how many years were between like what, 2 or 3 years between each of those?
Yeah,
games?
I think it was 5 years. Just, 5 years total.
For I don't know.
Around that's, 5 years to come out. I mean, if
that's it'd be a interesting. Lot of time.
I don't think they're going to use the Telltale model where it's just going to be a game a month or a game every other month.
No,
because the
I don't
way
think
they're making
can.
It sound. Because the way they made it sound was like, we have to split this game up because this is the only feasible way we can do this.
Yeah, I mean, because otherwise, like, I'm not necessarily like mad at the multi-part thing, because realistically, if they were to try and release this game all in one thing, it wouldn't come out until 2025 at like the earliest. Like, it would just not come out for like 10 more years.
I have a feeling the first game is going to be Midgard, right?
Yeah. that makes the most sense. But I think it's I the way I see it is that, like, okay, like, maybe yes, they're dividing it up so that way they can get more money out of people, and so they can, you know, because realistically they will make a shitload of money off of this game. That's like not a guarantee. But also so they can get it out to people faster, because they know that people will get impatient, like, if they get, if, you know, so I think that they could realistically probably have the beginning of this game, or like probably ready, I would say 2017 to get in time. Probably, I would think that, because of, that would be the 20th anniversary of the game coming out. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I would imagine, is they'll probably want to maybe get the first part out around like 2017.
Yeah. I mean, depending on what they have done, because when you look at that trailer, it just kind of looks like the first 20 minutes of Fantasy 7.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it doesn't look like it's like it's a lot. It looks like it's like, it looks really good, but I'm like, yeah, that's probably like the first 15-20 minutes of the game. So it's like they've got a long way to go.
Yeah, so my concern is going to be like, what if this is only a 10-15 hour long game? Because we're getting a director's cut, meaning we're not going to get a lot of that filler content that was in Final Fantasy 7, and that was a game that could have used like a good editor at some point, be like, you know, we don't need any part of this section. But like I said, this was a different time when if your JRPG wasn't 100 hours long, no one took you seriously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's going to be weird by today's standards whether people are all going to be okay with like episode one's only 30 hours and people are just, nope, not enough. It's not a game. I can't believe. And then we don't know how much these games are going to cost. I mean, are these going to be a full priced game? Are you going to release me? And they're making it sound multi-part, but really it's going to be three games.
Yeah, I guess that's probably what's going to end up happening.
So when you say it's like a full length game, that means you're going to charge me the full price of, you're going to charge me a full $60 for this. And by you telling me that, you're telling me that, like, okay, I'm expecting 50 hours in this.
Yeah.
Like, how weird. Like, yeah. I'm curious to see what that's going to be like, but I think your time frame is probably accurate. I would say holiday 2017.
Yeah.
Assuming they've been working on this for years, which I don't even know if that's even possible. I feel like they were started working on this like that week of E3 when they were like, we need something big because we got nothing for this holiday season. We need a big announcement to throw, you know, to like distract people from the fact that we don't have anything solid this holiday. And that was what they came up with at the time. And like, I would love to know in the background, it's like, oh no, we've been working on this like 3 or 4 years. It's wait till holiday season's gonna blow our minds. But like,
I don't think it's been that long. I think it's maybe been like a year at max. I don't think it's been that long. So
yeah, and considering they're working on Final Fantasy 15, that looks like they put some time into that. So I don't know where you find, and then they're also working on Kingdom Hearts 3. So I'm like, I don't know where they found the time to be like, oh yeah, by the way, let's all secretly work on Final Fantasy 7. I'm like, are you just making these people work 30-hour days? Like, this is insane.
That's why I'm not quite like, I would rather they just like finish 15, because 15 is supposed to come out next year. And Kingdom Hearts, we still don't know. Like, Kingdom Hearts is still, I don't know, whenever. so we'll see. So anyway, so there was that. And we got to see, I guess just going back to PSX so we can kind of keep things moving. The main things they ended up showing was in the beginning of they kind of started off with Uncharted 4. They showed a new scene from that, which was kind of cool because they showed it was a scene between Nate and his brother Sam, I think is his older brother, played by Troy Baker. And basically it was kind of this cool, like, sort of somber, more low-key scene that wasn't really like the big, like, sort of action scenes like we've seen every other times. So it was a little bit more of an kind of introspective, like, story-based thing. And it was cool because then we also got to see a surprise dialogue option, which we've never had in Uncharted. It was a very, like, sort of Mass Effect style thing, which I saw it and I was kind of like, I don't know, this seems a little weird. But I think, you know, thinking about it, it kind of makes sense. Is maybe like, I don't think it's gonna be the kind of thing that's gonna be like, you know, it's gonna stop every 10 seconds and ask you, oh, what do you want to do, and then do like a Mass Effect style dialogue. I think it'll only be like at certain points in the story.
I mean, that's weird, because the Nathan Drake character, like, what are your responses? Are they all just snarky responses?
I know,
he's a snarky douche. Yeah. Like, who's not going to pick that option? Like, I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to pick the good guy. I'm like, no, the Nathan Drake I know doesn't take anything seriously.
Yeah.
And is a sociopath. So just be like, no, you know, like, I'm going for the light side choice. Like, no, bro. Like, just say something sarcastic and move on.
But I think, you know, because for me, it would be interesting because, like, normally when I play Uncharted games, they're kind of one and done deals for me. Like, I kind of just play them and then that's it. I don't really, maybe I'll go back and play them one more time. But, like, you know, other than that, they're very linear games. So I think this will be nice to add a little bit more replayability into them, maybe to see, like, so, you know, how events play out.
So let me ask you this. Do you think, now that, you know, and it was delayed and stuff, do you think they're going to go like the Tomb Raider route and turn this almost into like an action RPG, where is Nathan Drake going to have stats now? Like, If you're showing me a dialogue system, that means you're going to be talking to a bunch of people that you maybe don't have to talk to.
No, I don't think it's, I think it's purely just for like, you can do slight divergence. I think it's still going to be very linear and be very Uncharted. I just think it's going to give you slightly different paths you can take to be like, you know, oh, maybe like instead of doing this, he'll like do something like, you know, I think it's going to be very basic. I don't think it'll be very, very complicated, especially because of how soon the game's coming out, because it's coming out in 3 months. So,
Yeah, but how good would that be if like, it was like an RPG and you go into a little hub city and you're like, learning archaeology things from like NPCs and then asking them questions.
I think that's too much for what we expect from Uncharted, but I'm still excited to see it. So that was kind of, that was the first thing they actually kicked off with. Then they showed us Final Fantasy. Then they kind of moved on. They did some more Street Fighter V stuff. They revealed a new character. They revealed the upcoming, I guess, sort of DLC characters that'll be coming after the game launches. Then from then on, I felt like this PSX was a little bit weird compared to last year's, because they definitely, it was very heavy on sort of smaller indie titles and VR. PlayStation VR was definitely like, I feel like the focus of this event. You know, so it was mostly stuff like they showed the, I think my favorite of those games being the 100-foot robot golf, which sounded really crazy and fun and wacky, kind of like Rocket League, but like with giant robots and, you know, and playing golf, like Gundam style. It was pretty crazy. But it just, the pacing of the show was a little bit weird, because they basically, like, they started off so strong because they were like, they've got Uncharted, they've got Final Fantasy, like they started off really strong. And then a lot of the times the show just kind of felt like it nosedived and just really got into some not really that interesting stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if it was like, maybe they had to do it for programming purposes. It's like, we have to kind of be like very top heavy just to kind of keep people in for that 15. I don't know if there was some weird like metric happening where it's like, as long as we keep people tuned in for like 10 minutes at least, like we get this much money from our stream provider. Like, I feel like that's why they kind of had to pack all the good stuff up front and see how long they can keep people through. Like, I would love to see like numbers wise, like where like viewership took a nosedive and like
where it took a dive.
I don't know like what part of that show made them the most money. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's always super interesting.
It had to be the beginning and the end, because that was the most exciting stuff that ended up happening. Because then after that, then they showed Battleborn for a little bit, which I'm not excited about that game at all. They talked about Star Wars Battlefront and Call of Duty for a while, but they didn't really announce anything new. They were just kind of like, hey, these games are out, they're doing really well on PlayStation, you should go and play them. And that was basically about it, other than revealing, I guess, that the, you know, the Call of Duty DLC is going to be coming early, but we already knew that. There wasn't anything new really announced.
It's weird because like Call of Duty and Battlefront are like Sony's holiday games, especially with the exclusive content that they have. It was really weird that they're just hammering the fact home where it's like, hey, you got a PS4, you're looking to play Star Wars,
or Call of Duty. It's a little, but I mean, it's part of the fact that they know that their holiday lineup was really weak this year, so they had to kind of lean on those two games to support them through the holiday season, because they really had nothing else big coming out. It was very heavy on like the sort of PlayStation VR stuff. No release date or price or anything like that for VR just yet, which was kind of what I was expecting. I kind of thought that this would be the big kind of moment for it to get people on board, but it didn't happen. So it's going to be a while. And then the only other really big announcements I can really recall from PSX were being, they revealed Ni No Kuni 2, which is a pretty exciting reveal. They revealed that. I think that was probably the biggest new thing that was shown there, I think, was Ni No Kuni 2, which looked really nice. And, you know, so
that game's always gorgeous. Like, I love the look of that game.
Yeah, it's because it just looks so beautiful. Like, it's so animated and vibrant and colorful. And it's, you know.
Yeah, that game made me, what I like about that game, it's a very standard JRPG, but it's so gorgeous and pretty where you're just kind of like, you know what, it's very grindy, but I don't mind grinding in a world that looks that beautiful. And I'm like, okay, I put up with this for a while, which is kind of like my opinion of Star Wars Battlefront in a nutshell.
I mean, that was pretty much it. That was like the biggest thing revealed. Kind of a lot of the stuff that they showed at E3 was kind of MIA at PSX, like no Horizon, no Last Guardian, Dreams. I think they had a demo there for a bit that looked pretty cool. But again, that's like a hard, it's a hard game to demo because it like takes a lot of explanation. I think that's kind of one you're just going to have to play around with yourself. It's not necessarily like, you know, one that you could just watch someone be like, look at me make trees and make, you know, dream creations and things like that. Yeah. Cause it's like, it's hard
That's going to be a game that's going to benefit from either some doing some sort of weird demo where it's like, here are like the first 3 hours of the game and here's the tool set. And like, I think you kind of have to let people start creating things for that game before it comes out, just so they have an idea of like what it is. Cause I still don't know what that game is.
Yeah. I mean, the way I see it is it definitely seems a bit more of a creation tool than it is like more of a traditional sort of game. So I think it's definitely more, I think it's more like Little Big Planet, but if you stripped away a lot of the sort of, you know, because Little Big Planet, even though it was heavily focused on creativity and making your own stuff, like there was still levels and a campaign you could do on your own. I feel like Dreams is going to be a little bit more abstract and be more about just the general sort of making all these crazy things and things like that. But, you know, I keep hearing really positive things about people who play it, you know, because even I remember reading some previews at other sites that have said, like, this is the best thing I've ever seen in a PlayStation event and like things like that. So really, really positive. So again, I think it's a game that doesn't necessarily benefit from a big, you know, conference demo, but like something you kind of just have to get your hands on, experiment and play with. So that's maybe what we'll see. I guess, yeah, anything else from PSX or we can kind of move on?
Yeah, let's move on. Because like I said, it happened so long ago, but I was like, oh, we should touch upon it and talk about
it. Yeah, yeah, so, that's pretty much it. So
Ryan, what happened this week? What was the biggest piece of news?
The Super Smash Brothers Nintendo Direct was obviously the best.
Damn it!
You set yourself up for that one.
Why did I do that? Oh. You know what, Ryan? I told you earlier. I will give you. I'm in a great mood. You know, I don't look it. I am actually in a fantastic mood. So, Ryan, I will.
Well, to be fair, this did happen before the actual big piece of news. So let's get this out of the way first. I guess.
Ryan, the floor is yours. So, tell me about Smash Brothers.
Sure. So Nintendo had another Nintendo Direct, and basically this was their final. Don't worry, this is the last time that you will ever have to hear me talk about new Smash Brothers stuff. So Nintendo had their final Smash Brothers Nintendo Direct, or at least their final one that was focused solely around Smash Brothers. But from previous sort of statements and stuff like that, this sounds like this is going to be the last dump of new content, you know, like post-launch content coming to Smash Brothers. So sort of the big things were they previously announced that Cloud from Final Fantasy VII was going to be joining the game, and he released. So he's out now. I actually started playing with him a bit this morning, and he's quite fun. A little stupidly overpowered in some aspects, but he's still pretty fun.
Well, he's got a big sword. What are you telling me he's not over? Of course he's going to be overpowered. What's his super? Is it the Omni Smash? Slash?
It is Omni Slash. Yeah,
that is Omni Smash though.
No, it's Omni Slash. Don't worry. He kind of plays to me a bit of a mix of Ike and Little Mac. Is like he's a very sort of like ground focused character. So like he's much better on the ground. His aerials kind of suck. His recovery's terrible. So he's one of those characters that definitely, like, if you can knock him out of the stage, he won't be able to get on very easily. But if he's on the ground, watch out because he can do some damage to you. Because otherwise he's a mix of kind of like, he's a very fast character but very strong, which is maybe he might need a little bit of balancing there. But anyway, so Cloud is out. You can play as him now. Get on your 3DS and download him. He's cool. And then Nintendo also revealed some new characters that are coming to the game. So the two new ones, the first one, Corrin, or as I like to call generic Fire Emblem character number 6, because the game has way too many Fire Emblem characters.
Corrin, it just sounds like Nintendo is just owning up that franchise. Like, no, Fire Emblem is ours.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, we get it. Like, it's a game that does well for you, but, like, you have other characters to pull from in other games.
It was. So they announced him as the first new character coming. So he's actually going to be from Fire Emblem Fates, which is the new Fire Emblem games coming out, I think, next year. Mm-hmm. He's going to be one of the characters from that. He seems pretty cool, but again, it's just, like, it's hard for me to care because I don't really know the character very well because he's in a game that's not even out yet. So it's obviously they're putting him in there to kind of drum up people getting interested in the upcoming Fire Emblem games. And also just because, like I said, is like they already have 5 other characters from Fire Emblem, so it's kind of hard to care, like, unless they really make him. He seems like he'll be pretty different from most of the other characters, but it's hard because it's like, well, they've got all these other characters in there. But anyway, and then the other exciting character they announced was Bayonetta is going to be coming to the game as well, which is pretty cool. I wasn't, I know she was one that, like, I was kind of hoping for, but I wasn't sure if they would put her in there because she's kind of, you know, she's a little risque for Nintendo. But, you know, it's like,
sure.
But apparently she was the, so Nintendo, a couple of months ago, they did a poll, like, sort of requesting fans to say, okay, who's the most requested character that you want in this game? It turns out Bayonetta was the number one character among the votes. It was pretty funny in the direct because they had this little asterisk that said like among most realizable characters. So I guess they were just like, you know, like, okay, guys, look, Master Chief is not coming to this game. So it was basically like something probably stupid like that.
Stop asking for Superman, all right?
I know, but it's kind of why I felt Nintendo had to put that there, because they were like, look, guys, Master Chief, not going to happen. So she's coming to the game. Corrin and Bayonetta are both coming in February of next year. And she seems really cool because she's going to play pretty similarly to how she is in the games, where she's very combo heavy, and you can do like each multiple hits. So you can make some pretty ridiculous combos with her. But yeah, I'm most excited to play as her. It'll be fun. That was really about it. That's, you know, that was kind of the main thing, is they added some new costumes and stuff like that. But that was basically kind of the gist of these two new characters, some new amiibo, stuff like that. You know, which is kind of nice. Like, I think they had some cool surprises, but I am kind of sad that, you know, this is kind of it for Smash Brothers DLC, but we got a lot of good stuff, so I'm okay with that.
So sad.
I know. It's like, we're done talking about Smash Brothers, George. It's over. It's
like, no, because you're going to talk about them in February again when Bayonetta and Corrin come out, and you're like, oh my god, they're so good. Look at over. Oh my god, she's like Bayonetta. Look, she's got like a million combos. She's awesome, George. I'm like, god damn it, Ryan.
I know. That's what I'm going
to
say.
To be your friend.
We'll call it in February. All right, so now we move on to the big news of the week. You can take this one. So
yes, the drama continues with Hideo Kojima. So it turns out Hideo Kojima is not on vacation at Konami, as Konami stated previously. He actually formally left the company only to form his own studios, Kojima Productions.
Yeah, it's Kojima Productions.
Owns Kojima Studios, so.
Well, no, it was originally called Kojima Productions.
I thought it was Konami Studios.
No, well, I mean, his I thought it was. So, anyway.
But yeah, Kojima Productions is this thing that's happening, and they announced that they are partnering with Sony to produce a PlayStation exclusive franchise.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be PlayStation console exclusive, but it will come to PC later. Right. But for in terms of console stuff, yeah, it'll be coming exclusively to PS4.
Yeah, PS4 and PC, which is, well, they give no indication of what the game actually is. They just say they are working on a franchise. So we already know it's going to be a multiple, something big that they're going to annualize, or, you know,
I guess something completely new. So
yeah, or Revengeance too. Awesome. Revengeance. Let's go back to the Revengeance universe. I hope that he has it in writing that he can't touch anything Metal Gear, meaning like can't touch anything about Snake, Big Boss, Venom Snake, Punish Snake, but Raiden is completely. I hope Konami said, you know what, you can fucking have Raiden. All right, just fine. You want to make that? Make your stupid robot slicing simulator. You can have Raiden, and I hope Kojima left there and goes, you know what, I'll take Raiden, and I'll show you.
I'll show you my power.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see him at hopefully that we'll have something at E3. I'm guessing he's going to have a tease. There's going to be a teaser of whatever he's working on at E3, or they'll just get him onto the stage, right?
Yeah. So obviously this was all kind of the result of the kind of ongoing drama that's been happening this year between him and Konami. That's been pretty much since like March or April of this year. Kojima officially, I guess, sort of revealed that his contract expired on December 15th, which was yesterday. And it was funny that, like, you know, literally he couldn't wait more than like, you know, less than 12 hours before revealing what he was doing next. Because then PlayStation revealed a video with him and Andrew House making this announcement and just hanging out. And Andrew House, surprisingly speaking, very fluent Japanese, which I was very surprised at in the video.
I guess you had to, right?
You had to
some words.
Yeah, but
work for Sony.
Yeah, so obviously it's very early. We don't know what it's going to be. I think it's really exciting, and obviously this is like the absolute best case scenario for Kojima, and especially for Sony too, because obviously like Metal Gear has been, you know, Metal Gear has been such a big part of PlayStation history, and like, you know, Metal Gear Solid especially was like one of the most iconic games that have ever hit the PlayStation. So it's, yeah, it's kind of a nice thing that, like, you know, Kojima's now, you know, he's on his own. He can do whatever he wants, but now he's in a place that will know him and obviously respect him very much, you know, because of what he's kind of given to them.
So I'm curious to what the project's going to be, and also if he is going to work with, like, you know, a Microsoft. because, you know, it made it seem like they partnered up with Sony, but Sony doesn't own them or anything. Seems like a very kind of like Naughty Dog type of relationship where you're a studio that can technically do whatever you want, but we're going to flip the bill on a lot of this. So you're going to primarily make games for us. So who knows? I wouldn't be surprised if there's they have their Sony game and then they have their third party game that shows up on everything.
That's true. I mean, it could end up being like Insomniac, because obviously Insomniac did Ratchet and Clank, and then they ended up doing Sunset Overdrive for Microsoft. So obviously it's possible. Right now, obviously, you know, it's clear he's going to be doing stuff for Sony for a little while, and then maybe after they're done with this project, then might move on to something else. But we'll see. It was pretty funny though, because my friend tweeted it out. He said when they made the announcement, where he said like Kojima Productions, a studio by Hideo Kojima, a game written by Hideo Kojima, written by Hideo, and they just went on and on. It's like, yeah, but it's really exciting though. I'm happy to see this happen.
Yeah, I was happy to see that like all the drama at Konami didn't turn him off from video games. Because if I were him, I would have been like, man, video games are a headache. Like. Yeah. 1 minute you're making a high profile game, next minute you're on vacation in quotes, and like, you know, you could, you know, like, man, I don't want to be a janitor. I don't want to be demoted. Like, what is going on at Konami? Yeah, I don't know if this is a situation at Konami. Like, are there heads rolling at Konami, or just kind of like, you know what, he's PlayStation's problem now. I hope they have a lot of money to burn, because the man costs money.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it won't be as much of a problem, because Sony's way more open to that sort of creativity and things like that. I'm sure they will give him the time and the money he needs to, you know, to do that.
Yeah, but you know what? PlayStation needs some fucking exclusives, so they're gonna be like, "Hey, Kojima, you've got a year, not five." Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they do.
Yeah,
and I want to see Hideo Kojima do like a low budget like horror game.
So Silent Hills, but not called Silent Hills, is like,
yeah, give me something similar to that, like first person, like. Even if that game is, even if it's an indie game, you know what I mean? Even if it's like an indie level, meaning like this, it's only a $2 million game as opposed to an $85 million game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he can bang that out in a, you know, give it to him. Let him bang it out in a year. Like, I want to see what he can do on a timetable. You know what I mean? Because I feel like if you give certain people all the time in the world, they're going to take all the time in the world. But some people work better when you give them like, no, dude, it's got to be done by this date. All right. Like, figure it out. And some people work really well under that pressure. And I would love to see Kojima do something small. You know, I mean, as much as I love seeing his big stuff and like his take on like, you know, Metal Gear Solid 5 was his take on an open world game, and it was fun and it was creative and I really dug it. But yeah, I want to see him just tackle other genres and like games of different scope. Mm-hmm. Because I want to see what else he's got up his sleeve. Because he's working on a game. That's great. Like, yeah, give me the ride and dating simulator. I don't care. Like, how fun would that be? Like, game set in the Metal Gear universe.
Next year, Hideo Kojima is going to come on stage and be like, all right, I announce Hotful Boyfriend 2, Revengeance. Hotful Boyfriend of Ride.
And if you have a bad date, Raiden like slices him in half because they're all evil cyborgs, and he just like rips their little robot heart and eats it. Like, how cool would that be? I mean, it'd be weird, but I want that.
Yeah.
Oh, stay open-minded, guys. It'll work. It'll be great.
Yeah. I guess that's pretty much it for the Kojima thing, because obviously we don't know too much yet about what's going to happen.
And we won't for a while.
A lot of people were really excited about it. I mean, this was like this is a huge announcement, so it was cool to see.
But yeah, I think that's it with news, I think, right? Or at least all the big stuff that happened. Like, of course, check out GameShockers.com for all the breaking news and any developments we have further about Kojima Productions. Ryan, I want to know what you've been playing. What have you been reviewing? You've done some stuff. What happened?
So as of late, in terms of review stuff, since we last had a Shockcast, right now it's mostly been a lot of Telltale stuff. So I think the main things were kind of finishing Game of Thrones. I think we talked about that last time, maybe. Mm. But Game of Thrones, and lately it's been the last couple episodes of Minecraft Story Mode, which have been Telltale's sort of episodic take on Minecraft Story Mode. So the last episode I gave a 7, and thought it was pretty good. I'm not quite connecting with Story Mode as much as I have with some of Telltale's previous series. Like, I think, you know, partly because I'm not a big Minecraft player, so I don't have that attachment to the original game, but also just because I'm not quite finding the story and the characters as gripping as the characters in some of their other titles, like Tales from the Borderlands and, you know, Wolf Among Us, Walking Dead, that kind of thing. But still pretty good. I mean, if you're looking for something fun and episodic, especially if you have kids, or like, you know, have, you know, younger cousins, like a family, like it's definitely a much more family friendly sort of focused game.
All right, cool. I'm digging the Telltale stuff. Anything else?
That's it for review stuff. But in terms of stuff I've been playing just kind of on my own right now, it's mostly just I've mostly been kind of catching up, I guess, to prepare for our upcoming Game of the Year special eventually when it'll happen. Hopefully next week.
Yes.
So I've been catching up. I actually last weekend I finished Until Dawn, and that game is hilarious and I loved it. It was great. I mean, hilarious in like a scary, fun, goofy kind of way. Mm-hmm. But I loved that game. I thought it was great. So I think that actually may be one of my late kind of contenders, or at least on my list somewhere.
Nice.
So I played that, and I've been playing Batman Arkham Knight, which I can probably guarantee won't be up there. I'm not like super loving it. It's enjoyable so far. It's just literally every time that I get forced to go in the Batmobile, I just groan because I just do not like going in the Batmobile.
You don't like solving car puzzles and pulling the little crane, and then, well, you got to rev it up to charge it up. And I'm like, why? The Riddler's an asshole. Why would he do this?
Yeah, there have definitely been a lot of annoying like parts of the game so far like that.
And like, the Riddler's puzzles are designed with the fact that he knows that your Batmobile can do that. But he's like, all the stuff you get in the Batmobile is all like new. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way the Riddler could have known that your Batmobile could electrically charge things. When he was designing these puzzles a year, like okay, fine. I'm just surrender your brain. It's comic books.
Yeah, pretty much. But I mean, otherwise, I'm enjoying it. You know, aside from those sorts of issues. But yeah, that's what I'm playing right now, just to kind of catch up on the year before it ends. So
nice. I've been disappointed in video games lately. First, I'm gonna start with Battlefront because I mentioned it earlier, and it also is a very Star Wars themed. I wanted to do a Star Wars video. But prior to, since the movie is coming out this week, I was like, what's my favorite Star Wars game? And I kind of ran down the list. I'm like, what should I, and like, what are some that I haven't played in a while? And I went like, oh my God, yeah, Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Academy.
Yeah. I remember playing that game.
I remember how awesome that game was in 2002. And then I'm playing it again. And I'm like, man, this game is a hot mess.
I was quite, okay, so now the important question, though, Jedi Academy, do you go with single lightsaber, double lightsaber, or dual-wielding lightsabers?
In the very beginning of the game, you can only choose a single, but when I played it on Xbox way back in the day, I went dual-side. I was on a Darth Maul kick, and I was like, what? Lightsabers could be double-sided? That guy, and I was like, I need that, so I started doing that.
Was it really? I think I played the I think I played the demo of it on PC, and I think I remember it let me do any one of those.
That was the demo, but like I did video right from scratch, and you can only design your guy, and I picked a Keldor, you know, because I love what my favorite Jedi masters is Plo Koon for whatever reason. I just feel like I like the look of him. He seemed like a really cool guy, and in the movies, he gets killed in like 3 seconds because he's like a great starfighter pilot, and then his starfighter blows up. But and then he's in the Clone Wars for a lot of episodes, and he actually like they flesh him out. And you're like, this guy's really cool. Him and like Kit Fisto. I was like, oh man, I like these guys.
I know, but Kit Fisto, and like they're such badasses in like the expanded universe. But then like in Revenge of the Sith, they get killed in like 3 seconds. It's like,
yeah, Kit Fisto was the one they sent to go with Mace Windu, who apparently they're like the best Jedi ever. And then Palpatine just gives them the business. That upset me, especially when you start reading and like watching, like, oh man, Plo Koon's really cool. Oh man, Kit Fisto's really cool. And you're like, oh, that was such like an elegant death for them.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I was playing Jedi because I was like, oh, I can always do like a Battlefront. And then the more I play Battlefront, the more I hate it.
Yeah, that's kind of been my, I played the beta Battlefront a couple months ago when that happened. Mm. And I've been tempted to get it because it's, especially lately, because it's been popping up in some sales for like $40 or whatever. I thought maybe, but I just realistically, I know that like, cause the game's pretty much a multiplayer only game. And I just in general I don't play them very often. Like, I think if I had a you know, especially because most of my friends that I play with online are all on PC. And, if I had a group of friends that were actually playing or whatever, I might consider getting it. But really, there's no motivation for me to get it because I just know that it's something I'll probably play it for like a week or two and then never touch it again. So,
yeah, that game is really good at $40. For $60, that game has got issues. I like saying that there's no meat on the bone of this game. It's all very light and it's multiplayer focused, which I don't have an issue with it, but you have to give me more if you're going to give me a single multiplayer. It's just a multiplayer experience. You're going to have to give me more than the handful of stages, like you know, the stages at night or flip the maps around, do stuff. But, and then also like their character progression is so, oh man, there's just nothing there. It's so lean.
Yeah.
That, like, you unlock there's five different laser pistols that you can, you know, there's five blaster guns that you can unlock. And then they use this weird kind of card system that like Battlefront Blueprint. Like I've played really good Battlefront games before. You pick a class and you know, and then you die, you can pick a different class. Vehicles are there. They had like a single player component where you're fighting over planets and you can blockade each other. And I'm like, man, really, really weird, but it's a gorgeous game. It is from the production standpoint. Oh my god! Like when you're doing the walker assault on Hoth, and you're just like under a walker looking up, and then there's like blaster fire coming this way, and you see X-wings fly over your head, and you're like, man, this is a nice looking game.
Yeah,
but then that's it. Like once you kind of get over that like initial awe of it,
it's style over substance.
There's nothing there.
It looks great, and you know, but like I said, it's like realistically, I know that I probably won't play that game very long if I get it. So maybe if the holidays, if it's cheap, I'll get it. But I just don't. Not something. Especially because I mean, A, I've got enough. I have to play right now. But B, also, it's just I know it's something that I'm just not going to play for very long. I am looking to try and get. I do want to play Tomb Raider over the holidays, so I think I'm probably going to try and pick that up when I'm home. You know, during break, and I won't have much to do. So,
yeah, same here. Tomb Raider has been on my list, and I definitely want to get to that before I start taking any heavy Game of the Year discussions.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, from what I heard, it sounds phenomenal.
Yeah.
And what else did I play? Oh, I did a review for Just Cause 3 that just went up a few days ago. It is exactly what you think it is. It is a fun sandbox, make your own chaos simulator and nothing else.
It looks fun. And I think I have the first two games on PC. I just never really got into them. But I'm just, you know, especially because I feel like Just Cause is kind of like the very similar to like Saints Row for me, where it's like, it started out as trying to just be like, you know, open world, like, you know, GTA clone or like open world, like kind of Far Cry clone. Mm. And, you know, but then they kind of embraced their silliness and their wackiness. And then they just kind of that's became their identity because, you know, Saints Row was a lot like that. And then Just Cause is just like, yeah, you want to attach a helicopter to a jet and see what happens? Go for it. That's basically what was kind of happening. So Just Cause 3 looks pretty fun. I might maybe try and give that a shot at some point.
It is really fun. And a lot of my problems with the game, and you'll see it in my review, is that like a lot of the really good stuff is gated behind bullshit. Meaning like if you want to get the thing that lets you do six tethers at once or the C4 with the rocket boosters on it, then you have to do these dumb challenges that show up that are all super boring. It's just the same. Get in a tank, blow up the space, or get to a helicopter, shoot enough points, or wingsuit. Like if you want to level up your wingsuit, you have to do all the wingsuit challenges.
It gets in the way of having its own fun. Gets in the way of having its own fun, basically, is like,
pretty much. Like, and that's not what you want from a Just Cause game. Like, you know, all you want to do is like, I would recommend get it on PC, unlock and just boop, 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 and unlock all the mods for all your gear and just go to town. And that's, I mentioned it's a great game to just like take really short clips and make fun GIFs and do all that. Like, it is a perfect game for the like modern day YouTuber or streamer where it's just like, just create your own fun, make chaos. Cause you can beat all the levels just by playing it like a typical third person shooter. Just like, oh, run, gun, grenade, blah, blah, blah. That's not what you want. You want to tether the dude into the other dude and then watch him fly up into space, or you want to like ride the jet and then jump up and then wingsuit into the bottom of the helicopter and then attach C4 to him and then watch that spin out of control. Like that's insane, but it's also entirely unnecessary. So I feel like you're really just limited to your own imagination. Cause if you're just kind of sit there and like after a while and like, oh yeah, you do all that and you goof around. But I'm just like, I just want to be done with this game, man. I'm just going to go and shoot at blow everything. I don't need to do all this funny, crazy nonsense. Let me just get into a tank and blow it all up and just move on with my life. And I was playing it on a PS4, and those load times are bad, Ryan.
Yeah, I've heard the console performance is not particularly good, and that the load times are pretty bad. It's like
bad. I mean, my load times range from 30 seconds to like 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Especially when you want to, and then, like, you know, they force you to do these challenges to unlock more goodies. So you have to keep retrying it, because the higher the score, the more gears you get, and the more gears you get, the quicker you unlock modifications. Mm. So you try something the first time, you get two gears, you're like, oh, I can get five, let me try this again. So you know, you hit retry, and then you're waiting like 2 minutes, which is like not what you're for, especially in those modes where it's like, oh, just keep doing it till you get it right. Waiting 2 or 3 minutes in between a load screen is crazy. And there are times where, like, I hit like the 4.5 minute mark, and I'm just kind of like, it's still not loaded. So I would have to quit out the game, boot it up again, and that would load quicker than those load times I was dealing with, which was just like inexcusable for a PlayStation 4 game. And I hear the Xbox One version is it's even worse. And yeah. I'm like, how does that even get published that way? Like, PC, I heard not so much. PC, it's more dependent on your rig, because it is kind of like, you need a really decent PC to like kind of run this game. Mm-hmm. But the load times I hear are just perfect. It's all dependent on your equipment, and, you know, you'll hit 15, 30 seconds and you're in. But man, those console load times are just bad. And then to the point where I wasn't even retrying challenges anymore. I was just like, you know what, let me just do it once, get as many as I can, and just move on with my life. And then all of a sudden, now I'm dragging this out more, because I need 6 gears and I could have done 5 and then just 1 here. And then I'm getting 2, 2, 2, 2. Oh man, it was bad. And which is a shame, because the game is actually a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But it's just so much busy work. Like, you know, in order to progress in a story, you have to like unlock provinces, and provinces are made up of like a bunch of little settlements and bases that you go in and have to liberate. And by liberating, you have to go in and take down all the general's propaganda. So his posters, you got to take on his police station and take that over. And then the speakers, and then you got to fly over here and turn off the propaganda machines and the vans that drive around. And you do that in all the bases.
Yeah. And I think I would like to get to it at some point. I think part of the problem too is just because, like, this year was so heavy on open world games and these massive, you know, and especially because last couple months I've been playing like nonstop open world games between, you know, Metal Gear, Mad Max, Fallout, and I've just kind of like, I need a break for a little bit, because these are some, you know, like Batman, I think there's enough linearity that I can kind of get away with that, but like, you know, it's just, I think lately I've just been like, okay, I need to take a little bit of a break from these epic, massive open world games where there's just like so much to do, so.
Let's play Rocket League, Ryan. That's been my game of the year so far.
Rocket League's pretty great. It's an amazing game. It's like,
Rocket League is awesome. I'm gonna tell you, man. Rocket League. It's pretty good. And what else am I playing? I'm still on my Star Wars kick, so I'm gonna play more Star Wars games. I'm playing a lot of Knights of the Old Republic, the RPG, the Old Republic RPG, because they had that new expansion. I'm still kind of kicking that around, seeing how that is. Jedi Knight 2, I think I did a video for it, and I think I'm gonna finish it off. I'm gonna do like an entire Let's Play and see the adventures of Jaden and Kyle Katarn, and I'm just like, oh man, I remember seeing, and I forget that Kyle was in the game, and so when I saw him, I was like, oh, meet your master, Kyle Katarn. I'm like, all right, good for you, Kyle, you're still in this. So yeah. I think I might do a multi-part video for that, just to kind of see how it ends. But the way I ended my video, I was doing one level, and I just had no idea how to beat it. I was like, at the end of a train, I'm like, how do I stop this goddamn train? And then I died, and I'm like, oh, that's the end of this video. But I'm gonna figure it out, and then I think I'll see how that turns out. And if not, maybe I'll do a different Star Wars game. I was thinking Republic Commando next.
You could also do Rogue Squadron, the best Star Wars game ever made.
All right, settle down. go play some Smash Brothers or something. But no, because I want to go like way back in like the way back machine, and like,
yeah,
because I think that was a good idea. Maybe some Dark Forces.
It's funny that you mentioned, because I bought Republic Commando at like the beginning of the year, because I'd never played it before, and I tried like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago to play it, and Steam will just not let me run it for whatever reason. It's just, I keep trying to open it, I try hitting play, and the game just crashes. I'm like, all right.
I feel like a game that could probably run on DOS. Like, it's probably not even meant to, like, it doesn't even know what Windows 8 is, where it's just like, nah,
I'm not even,
run
I'm on Windows 7, and I'm like, I don't know. I had to look at it and see. It's the, because it was like the, it was just recently released, and like, I think, like not quite remastered, but like a slightly updated, like, this will actually run on modern PC's version, but it just, every time I try running it, Steam just crashes, so.
That game is so cool. One of my favorite things was when you like punch something in the face, like when you punch like a Genosian in the face, and then like it's green blood, it gets on your visor, and then you see the little whoop whoop, and it wipes the blood off your thing. I'm like, that's a cool game.
Your blood windshield wiper, basically.
Yeah, it's so cool. And then you can like give out orders to people, and I'm like, this is awesome. It's very reminiscent of like almost like Halo 5, for like the same kind of vibe. Like, go kill that guy, go open that door, and I'm like, all right. Like, I like Republic Commando, strangely.
Yeah.
I think I want to find one of those Boba Fett Bounty Hunter games, though. I think that'll probably be a good video, too.
I don't think I ever got to play Bounty Hunter, but that was one I definitely wanted to try because it seemed fun, even though, like, I think it's probably not the greatest one, but it's not.
And it's funny because I was looking at reviews for Jedi Knight 2, and I was looking at, like, PC Gamer, 9 out of 10, and blah, blah, blah. Everyone's, like, such high marks. I'm like, oh, man, did I forget how good this game was? And I'm playing, I'm like, nope, not a good game. This guy control, like, your Jedi... He controls like you're just walking in mud.
I know, yeah. It's like that's like how most PC games are at that time, where your characters were like, you know, like if you just rotated the camera down to where their feet were, they were probably standing a good like foot or two off the ground.
Yeah, it's really weird. And I remember in my head like the lightsaber combat being like way more epic and like they clash and stuff like that. And then like you fight your first Sith and we're literally just kind of waving the swords around at each other. And then like I just need to, because if you just hold your lightsaber out and like. If you just hold it out and walk it into people, it kills them. So I was literally just trying to like walk around and like circle strafe them, but just like poke, poke, poke. It was the ugliest lightsaber fighting I've seen in so long, because it literally was just like, I threw my lightsaber. Oh, it's behind a corner, so I got to go like turn this way to get it stuck from behind that wall. And man, I was enjoying it, but I'm like, wow, this is not a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I miss those good old days. Remember when you first get that and you're like, man, this game is awesome. And I'm like, going back, I'm like, man, I was an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, you know my feelings that Rogue Squadron and Rogue Squadron 2, the finest Star Wars game was ever made.
Fine.
Anyway.
Ryan. Yeah. You know, I think that's it, Ryan. We will be back next time with a full panel going over Game of the Year. I'm going to bring up some Game of the Year topics, you know, like best music in game or like best use of, I don't know, the unicorn sex or whatever. I feel like Witcher's going to win a lot of awards. Witcher's going to just win a lot of these categories. Maybe best open world game. That'll be a big hot discussion.
I don't know. What about the best beards in video games? There's a lot of competition this year, you know?
That's true. Mad Max got one. Geralt can have one if you want.
Big Boss.
Big Boss got a decent beard in there. You know what? That's not a bad category. We'll put that in the notes for next week. I'm George Jimenez. That was Ryan Meitzler. Thank you so much. Ryan, you can say goodbye. I'm sorry. I just like stepped all over you. And it's like, you're allowed to say goodbye, Ryan.
May the force be with you all, always.
And with you. Thank you so much for watching. We'll be back next week. This was a DualShockers Shotcast. And make sure you go to DualShockers.com because we've got videos, podcasts, reviews, all news, all that fun stuff. We'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
George, I love you.
May the force be with you.
That wasn't the right quote.
I don't want to talk to you. Bye, guys. Silly.